you do that, we'd be all right. No, Brother Gene, before he changed jobs, used to go to prison with me and sing all the time in prison. The prisoners there loved to hear him sing, and he changed jobs, wasn't able to do it. But thank God we're still going once a month to preach the unsearchable riches of the Word of God. And every time we go, people are saved. And, you know, that's why we do what we do, by the way. Every ministry of this church ought to point people to Jesus. If we're not doing that, we're not doing the work that God's called us to do. If you have a copy of the scripture this morning, I want you to go to 2 Timothy. I started preaching this sermon last Sunday and didn't quite get finished and didn't nearly get finished, but we're going to go back to it. I'm determined that I'm going to preach this 2 Timothy sermon today, Lord willing. But I tell you what, I'm thankful for the opportunity we have of being part of God's great work. I want you to remember this week that we as Southern Baptists of Texas Convention are going to be involved in the evangelism conference over in Irving. You pray for that time. We're praying that God will use it mightily. We already have over 2,200 people that have pre-registered to be there. And we're going to hear some great preaching. Your pastor's going to go get his cup filled up this week and get my batteries charged. And next week, you better be ready because my batteries are going to be charged. But I tell you what, I love to hear good preaching, great preaching. Here's some great preachers that can ring the bell, and I'm looking forward to it. But you pray for that time in a special way. Remember last time we were together, we looked at this last epistle that the Apostle Paul wrote right before his death. We know that he's writing to young Timothy. Timothy is probably 30 years younger than him, and he's trying to challenge him in the faith. He's trying to say, Timothy, it isn't time to give up. It's time to look up. It isn't time to give out. It's time to be strengthened by the Lord and to continue in the work that God's given us to do. You remember last time we were together, he told them in chapter 1, verse 5, that you're to remember the faith. Remember that faith that was in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. And as I was looking about that this week, God reminded me that today would have been my mother's birthday. I lost her 3 years ago. Almost 3 years ago, it would have been her birthday. She would have been 89 years old today. But I'm thankful for a godly mother. I'm thankful for a godly father who is a pastor and evangelist. And he went all over the world, him and mom, to Africa and India and the Philippines and shared the good news of the gospel. But today I'm thankful for the faith that was implanted in me by godly parents. And I'm able to stand today as a result of that and preach this wonderful word of God. But he told him to remember the faith. He told him to rekindle that fire that's within you in verse 6. And to refuse your fears and receive your suffering. You know, whenever we decide to follow God, I'm thankful that we have an anchor, and that's Jesus. But let me tell you what, it's not a picnic in a park. We're going to face suffering. We're going to face difficulties. Jesus in John 16, 33 says, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. He says you need to realize your duty. He says, I'm a preacher. Verse 11, I'm an apostle, apostolos. I'm a teacher. What a responsibility that is. And then rely on your security. He says, I know whom I have believed in verse 12 and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. And he challenges him. In fact, you're going to find in the book of 2 Timothy no less than 25 imperatives. They are commands. They're not suggestions. He's challenging him, and he's saying, Timothy, it isn't time to be timid. It's time to go forward by faith. And then he says in chapter 2, be strong in the Lord. Look there, chapter 2, verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Remember last time we were together, we looked at He gives four illustrations. That of a teacher that's dedicated, that of a soldier that's determined, that of an athlete that's disciplined, that of a farmer that's diligent. And he says, hey, you got to keep on. You got to keep on. And then remember what keeps us motivated. That's what we were looking at together last week. What keeps us going on? What keeps that athlete being disciplined and keeping running the race that God has given us? What keeps that teacher that comes Sunday after Sunday, dedicated to that Sunday school class, as they study throughout the week and as they bring the Word of God? What helps that person that is going to be out in the field? By the way, the field is wide unto harvest. This morning, I prayed with our Hispanic pastor in my office, Brother Santos Fuentes. And you know the church over there, he just came to be pastor about 3 or 4 months ago, and they've almost doubled in 3 or 4 months. Last Sunday, they had 97 people right down the street here in Nueva Vida, our Hispanic mission. And they're reaching people with the good news of Jesus Christ. But what keeps him going on? What keeps us who are in the kingdom of God? What keeps us going on? Well, I want to tell you what keeps us going on. We must see that we got to remember. Notice what he says in verse 8. I want you to see this. He says, we got to remember that Jesus Christ, the first thing that keeps us going, folks, is we got to remember what Jesus did for us. And every time I remember what Jesus did for me, it keeps me going. Every time I remember about his humanity, by the way, that was no ordinary baby in a manger. Notice it says in our text here, he was of the seed of David and was raised from the dead according to my gospel. My personal gospel. In other words, we got to remember Jesus. We got to remember that he was the God-man. He was the Christ child. He identified with you and I. Yes, John 1:1 is true. In the beginning was the Word of God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And verse 14 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is the only begotten Son of God, full of grace and truth. Not only must we remember his humanity, but may I tell you this morning, we got to remember his death. Because of his death on the cross, you and I can have everlasting life. Because he died in our place. His death was a vicarious death. He died, we deserved death, and he took our place. He took your sin and my sin upon him. And as a result of that, we can have forgiveness because of the blood of Jesus. Paul puts it this way in Ephesians 1:7. It says, we have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. When we have forgiveness of our sins. Maybe you're here today, you've never met the Lord. You've heard about the Lord. You've heard about how Jesus died on the cross. Maybe you believe that in your head, but I want you to know you must not just believe it in your head. The Bible says in James, even the demons believed and trembled. You must have Jesus in your heart. You must have a personal relationship with him. Because, see, works does not save. Religion does not save. Baptism does not save. A personal relationship with him saves. And maybe you're dead. You never met the Lord. I want you to know he loved you so much that he was willing to stretch out his arms and die for you on the cross. That's the reason we find in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We must remember his humanity. We must remember how he's born in a lowly manger in Bethlehem. But we also must remember his death, but also we must remember his resurrection. You remember that great resurrection chapter over in 1 Corinthians 15, whenever the Apostle Paul says, hey, I delivered unto you what the Scripture says, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, how he was buried according to Scripture, and how he was raised again according to the Scripture. Yes, in a few weeks we're going to have Easter Sunday, and we're going to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But I want to tell you, for the believer, every day is resurrection day. Every day is victory day if you know the Lord, because he walks with you and he talks with you and he's there and he changes your life. Why is it that 120 nobodies in an upper room there waiting for Pentecost, literally, according to Acts 17:6, turned their world upside down with the gospel of Jesus Christ? May I tell you why they did? It's because they remembered Jesus Christ. They remembered how he was born there in a lowly manger, how he had a virgin birth, how he had a virtuous life. He did not commit one single sin because he was the perfect sacrifice. How he died a vicarious death, how he died on the cross, and how he had a victorious resurrection. But I got good news this morning, folks. That same Jesus, according to Acts chapter 1, that same Jesus that's gone up into heaven shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. We must remember Jesus Christ. And that's what kept those people in the upper room. That's what helped Peter as he stood at Pentecost and preached. That's what helped Peter and John share with that lame man on the way to the temple in John chapter 3. And that's what we find throughout the scriptures, how God changed people's lives. Why? Because of they remember Jesus Christ. There's one more that I believe remembered Jesus Christ. His name was Stephen. If you look in Acts chapter 7, he was the first martyr. The word martyr, by the way, means witness. He was the one who was not ashamed, and he was willing to die. And when he died, you know what he saw? The Bible says he saw the Lord. Now, what does the Bible say? The Lord, when he died, he ascended up to heaven, and he seated at the right hand of the throne of God. But I want you to know, Stephen didn't see him seated at the right hand of the throne of God. The Bible says he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the throne of God. Why did he see him standing? I'll tell you why I believe he saw him standing. Because he's saying, well done, good, faithful servant. He got a standing ovation from Jesus Christ. And by the way, that's the greatest standing ovation you could ever get, is for him to say, well done. But we must remember Jesus Christ. And that's, notice he says, according to my gospel. Paul made it personal. By the way, the gospel's got to become yours. That word gospel is the word euangelion, means good news. According to the good news. That's what keeps us going, folks, when we remember Jesus Christ. But not only must we remember Jesus Christ, I want you to know, according to the Bible here, let's go on down where it says, verse 9, wherein, referring back to the gospel, I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word is not bound. Now follow me here. Not only must we remember Jesus Christ, we must remember the purpose that the word of God is not bound. Follow me here. I don't know about you, I'm glad God's word isn't bound. What Paul is doing here, he's comparing his imprisonment to the word of God, okay? He says, hey, listen, I'm suffering these things as an evildoer because they imprisoned Paul. And by the way, if you want to read more about that, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he'll tell you all he went through, how he was, you know, he was shipwrecked, how he was beaten with rods, how he was stoned at Lystra, how he went through the trouble of his brethren. They turned against him, even his own brethren, and he had trouble from without and within the church. But I want to tell you what, Paul didn't give up. And he's telling young Timothy, you must never give up. I've suffered these things as an evildoer, but thank God, his word is not bound today. And the word of God, by the way, the Bible says in Hebrews 4, it is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And that's what keeps us going. The word of God, that we remember God's word is not bound today, folks. It's still alive. It's still changing lives. And you and I must take the word to heart. And we must say, thank God you've given us the word of God. This is God's inspired, infallible word of God to us, and we must stand on the word of God. May I tell you today, for you to remember what Jesus did and then remember that the word is not bound, you got to have a five-finger hold on God's word. You got to hear it. You got to read it. You got to study it. You got to memorize it. You got to meditate on it. And when you do that, you'll have a five-finger hold on the word of God. And the enemy, the devil, can't take it away from you because God's word is not bound today. I shared with you last week about how that They had dug some 600 miles of catacombs under the city of Rome. It was dug by some 30 or 10 generations of Christians over a 300-year period of time. It was there they had their meetings. It was there they had burial places for some 4 million Christians. But they said those catacombs, if you went to those catacombs and you looked in those catacombs underground, Rome, you could see they wrote throughout those catacombs what? The word is not bound. That's what kept those Christians going under persecution. Now, we live in the Bible Belt here in Texas. None of us were persecuted for coming to church today, but I want you to know there's some people today that are meeting underground in China and all over the world, and they can't openly carry a Bible, but I'm going to tell you what, that the Bible is precious to them. Because why? Because that's the most precious book they own. And for the believer, that ought to be the most precious book we own. Remember, the word is not bound. And I was thinking about that this week. You know, God was just speaking to me more about this word. And I was thinking about, wonder what Paul was thinking about. He was probably thinking about some of those words he had written earlier to the different churches and to the different people as he is thinking about the word is not bound. I don't know about you. I'm thankful that the word is not bound. That 10 years earlier that the apostle Paul wrote to there, the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 31, he says, what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? It says, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of Christ, which is in, well, from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Aren't you glad God's word wasn't bound? That word came forth from the Apostle Paul as he challenged people. Aren't you glad the word wasn't bound? Over in the book of Philippians, when he writes to them in chapter 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your forbearing speed be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be careful for nothing, or don't worry about anything, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus the Lord. I'm thankful today the word is not bound. And there in chapter 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And in verse 19, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. God's word is not bound this morning, church. And not outside us, we have this word in our possession, and we are to live it. We're to study it. We're to memorize these verses. And may they be in our heart when the enemy comes against us with those fiery darts to discourage us, to lead us astray, to keep us from being the husband we need to be, the father we need to be, the mother we need to be. We can go back to the word of God and we can say, this is what God's word says. God's word is not bound this morning. And I don't know about you, I'm thankful it isn't bound. That's the reason we find that Luke, the physician, writes in Acts 4:12, there is therefore no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved except the name of Jesus. I'm thankful that Matthew wrote in Matthew 28, we're to go into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. The word's not bound. By the way, you say, well, that sounds good in the New Testament. Is the Old Testament, the word not bound either, praise God. Amen? Aren't you glad for those who are living in fear today? The Lord says to you in Psalm 27, which Brother Jake shared earlier, fear not, for I am with thee. He says we're not to fear. God's not giving us that fear. We're to walk in faith, folks. And he says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalm 27, 1 and 2. And why is it the case that also we find in Isaiah 41, 10? Fear not, for I am with thee, the Lord says. Be not afraid, for I am with thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. The word is not bound this morning. It is free to speak to us today and to encourage us as we go on in the work of God. Remember that 1 Corinthians passage? At the end there, he's going to remind them of the fact that the resurrection is very important. And remind them, in fact, of what our future, us who know the Lord, we have a bright future, by the way. Amen. But he says there in verse 51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. For the trump shall sound, and we shall be changed. See, this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible body shall put on incorruption, and this mortal body shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And don't miss verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of God, for you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Aren't you glad your labor is not in vain? Every time you invest in one of those children in Awana Club, your labor is not in vain. Every time you're going to go here in a little bit, we're going to start our Good News Clubs back again. Four Good News Clubs. Brother Danny, I talked to him and Janet. Continue to pray for Brother Danny. Janet was instrumental in helping us start our Good News Clubs here. And they're going to have a banquet, by the way, Tuesday, and O.S. Hawkins is going to speak at that banquet. And Good News Clubs, what is it? It's a Bible club that meets in the elementary schools after school. And we get to go into four elementary schools. There's five. We're going to get to that fifth one next year. There's four elementary schools we're going to go into for 6 weeks. And we get to do Bible stories. And we get to do crafts. And we have different things. But the most important thing, we get to share with children the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. That's what it's about, folks. That's why we ought to go. There's people who need the Lord. And Paul is saying here, don't forget to remember Jesus Christ, but also remember God's word is not bound. Thirdly, this morning, look at our text. It says we're to remember the purpose of the work. Not only that the word is not bound, but look at verse 10. Therefore, in other words, therefore refers to what we've seen earlier, okay? When you see therefore in the Bible, you refers back to remember Jesus Christ. Remember, I was a suffering troubles evildoer, but the word is not bound. Therefore, what does he say? Paul says, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Now, follow me here. I don't want you to miss this. When he talks about the elect's sake, he's not talking about those who have already come to Christ, okay? He's talking about those who are going to come to Christ. The elect's sake, what does the Bible say? Well, it says over there in Ephesians chapter 1 that the Lord has chosen us before the foundation of the world that we should be in him. Because of his love, he chose us. And aren't you glad he did? But notice it says, those who have not yet obtained salvation, the word obtained there means to, in order, and that word obtain, in order that, it says that they may obtain salvation, in order that they may obtain salvation, that you also, in other words, not everybody has obtained salvation yet, folks. Do you realize that in Joshua, Texas, probably 50% of people here are lost? The studies they've done. Do you realize you have neighbors, you have people that you work with, students, you have students that you go to school with. We have people that are in our neighborhood. We have people a stone throw away from our church who need the Lord. And I'm going to tell you what, Paul says, listen, I've suffered, I've endured. Now, that's an interesting word, by the way. It's the word that means to abide under a load. I'm going to tell you, Paul suffered all right. But he says, listen, I suffered for the elect's sake. I have persevered. I have remained faithful. Now, I tell you, it's the same word that's used of Jesus in Hebrews chapter 12, where it says he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He says, for consider him, that is Jesus, lest you be weary and faint in your minds. Paul is trying to remind young Timothy here, listen, this is important work we're a part of. We're not through yet. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3:9, it is not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now I tell you, God's not through yet. And he's not coming again until he knows that last person that he has designated, he has called, that last person comes to Christ. But by the way, he uses us. You say, oh, well, if they're going to come to Christ, we can just sit here and expect them to come. That's not the way it works. My Bible says we're to go, 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 go. It never said to sit, 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 sit. It said to go. And we're to go, folks. I'm going to challenge us this morning as a church. Tonight or next Sunday night, we're going to have a business meeting, and I'm going to lead the church. We're going to buy 500 copies of the book that O.S. Hawkins has put out about Easter. We're going to buy 500 copies. They're $1 each. And we're going to buy those, and we're going to hand them out to members, and we're going to ask you to invite people to come for Easter Sunday here at Lane Prairie Baptist Church. You know, there's some people that come on Easter Sunday. They'll never come any other time of the year. It's fertile. It's a great time. And we need to remember the purpose of the work. What is the purpose of the work? It's for the elect's sake, for those who have not yet obtained salvation. Notice it says, that you may be able to attain salvation, which is in who? Christ Jesus, with what? Eternal glory. In other words, we're not through yet. Until Jesus comes again, or until he calls us home. Do you realize that? There's no retirement program in God's kingdom. You've heard me say that more than once, haven't you? And one day, whenever I step aside and I let these young guys that are up here 30 years younger than me take over, don't think I'm going to go sit in my rocking chair. I'm not asking for a rocking chair. I'm going to be like Caleb. I'm going to say, give me that mountain, God. There's still another Bible study to be done. There's still another place to preach. There's still prisons to preach in. And I'm going to continue on until God calls me home or until he comes again. By the way, if he came again tonight, it'd be fine with me. The only problem is, for some that are here today, you're not ready. For some here today, you haven't settled that issue. You haven't found peace with God. And you wonder why there's a void in your life. You keep trying to fill it with people. You keep trying to fill it with activities, with jobs, different things. You think, well, that'll bring me happiness. That'll bring me peace. I'm going to tell you what. The only one that'll bring you peace is the Prince of Peace, Jesus. And that's what you need today. The only one that can fill that void is Jesus Christ. And in a few moments, we're going to give you an opportunity to respond to the invitation. We're going to give you an opportunity to come to Christ. He says, I suffer these things. Why? For the elect's sake, that they would come to that place where they would continue in God. And then the last thing I want you to see this morning, go with me to the last part of this text. My time's almost up, so y'all are going to have to listen a lot quicker. But notice what it says, verse 11. Why do we keep doing what we do? What motivates us? The promise of eternal reward, folks. What does he say? It is a faithful saying. May I tell you that this word trustworthy, faithful, is found 5 times in 1st, 2nd Timothy and Titus. He says, it is a faithful saying. The word saying is the word logos there, the word uttered by a living voice. He said, this is a faithful saying. What's a faithful saying? For if we were dead with him, we shall also live with him. And if we suffer, we will also reign with him. But let me give you the two negatives now. That's the positive. The negative, if we deny him, he will deny us. And if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. I've got good news this morning. The good news is if we are dead with him, and by the way, now I tell you, when you came to Christ, you died, positionally you died at Calvary. Read Romans 6. Positionally you died at Calvary, but I want to tell you what, the Romans 6 says we got to count it to be so every day. We got to consider ourselves to be dead to sin and alive unto God. We have been, we're dead with him, but we, if we're dead with him, if we understand Romans 6, 4 and 5, as I mentioned one of them earlier, 4, it says that we're baptized. As we're baptized into his death. We will also live with him. That's the reason the Apostle Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul understood it. He said, I've got to die to live. Listen to me. The more dead you are, the more alive he is. And that's what he wants for every believer. That we would understand there is an eternal reward. One day, praise God, we'll be delivered from all these things. Yes, if we die a martyr's death like Stephen. Oh, yes, if we die and God calls us home. We will live with him, praise God. But if we suffer, we'll also reign with him. May I tell you, I love Romans 8:18. It says, for I reckon that the present suffering of this age is not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed. I tell you, every time you go through suffering, let me tell you, one day God's going to deliver us from suffering. Oh, we're going to suffer here on this world. This body, oh, it's like a boat that Brother Gene was talking about earlier. It's torn apart by the winds of life. But thank God the anchor holds, and we will, praise God, reign with him one day forever and ever and evermore. But let me give you a stern rebuke today. If you deny him, he will deny you. By the way, denying him is denying the work of the Holy Spirit, who is Christocentric. The purpose of the Holy Spirit is to point people to Jesus. And let me tell you what, if you have denied the Lord, Jesus himself said, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father which is in heaven. But if you confess me before men, him will also confess before my Father which is in heaven. Every time I go to prison, I tell the guys at prison that, listen, if you've accepted Christ, tonight if you've accepted Christ, here's what I ask them to do. I ask them to stand up in front of all those other prisoners. They cannot deny the Lord. They got to confess him before people. And they're willing to stand up. Some of these guys have tattoos all over their body. By the way, it doesn't matter about tattoos. You have a tattoo, don't worry about it. But listen to me. It isn't what you have on your body. It's what you have in your life that matters. Some of these guys are murderers. Some of them have done despicable things. But by the grace of God, they've been able to be born again. And to see one of those rough, tough guys stand up with tears coming down their cheeks to see they've been changed by the power of God. Only God can do that. But if you believe not, by the way, do you believe today? Do you believe that Jesus died on the cross, he rose from the grave? Do you believe? I told my wife, whenever I die, I want 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8 put on my tombstone. She said, those words aren't going to fit on there, Jerry. And y'all, I was thinking about that this morning. You know, I don't need my name on the tombstone because I'm not going to be there. You think about that? Think about it a minute. That's just a name on there. I'd rather have the word on there. Because what did Paul say? This is his last inspired writing. He gets to the end. What does he say? He says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the righteous judge shall give me on that day. And not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. See, what really matters when it's said and done, not did you please man, but did you please God? Did you serve for him? Were you motivated by the fact that you remembered Jesus? You remembered that the word is not bound. You remembered the purpose of the work. And you remembered there's a reward. Oft times the day seems long, our trials hard to bear. We're tempted to complain, to murmur in despair. But Christ will soon appear to catch his bride away. All fear forever over in that eternal day. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. And folks, that's what motivates us. If that doesn't what motivates you, there's something wrong with your heart. You need to get saved today. But there's some here today that you've never given your life to Christ. You know him here in your head, but you don't have him in your heart. You say, well, I'm visiting today. It doesn't matter whether you're visiting. You've been here 10 times or 100 times. If you need Jesus, we're going to invite in a moment you to come. We're going to sing a song. I'm going to pray. We're going to sing a song. Our pastor's going to be up here at the front. And they're going to receive you, and all you got to do is say, hey, I need Jesus. I want him in my life. And they're going to sit down with you right here on these front chairs, and they're going to explain to you how you can have peace with God, how you can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm going to invite you. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. Come to Christ this morning. Don't go away without Jesus. There's others here today that God's called to be a part of this church. I believe just like God calls us to salvation, he calls us to be a part of a local body of believers. That word church is found 119 times in the Greek, 113 times. It's a local body of believers. And I'm going to invite you to come this morning, be a part of our fellowship, and join our church. Maybe you're here today and you're struggling. You need prayer. We're always here to pray for you. Our church will stand with you. We'll pray for you. This is a praying church here. I thank God for it. But I want to invite you to come. We're going to stand at this time. Let's stand. I'm going to pray. And then don't hesitate. By the way, if you feel a tug right now in your life, that's the Holy Spirit.